Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the end time. Now, as we have been seeing in some of the prophecies that we've been going through, we are living in the end time. Now, we're not told how long the end time is going to be before we come to the last 7-year segment, because the only time segment that is given is that 7-year time segment, and that is broken down into 2 3.5-year periods. The Bible gives us events that we look to, key things that we need to understand, and we just learned in the last several ones, what is the abomination that makes desolate? Because when that stands in the holy place, in a temple that will be built in Jerusalem, that is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation cannot start until that event takes place. And that event cannot take place until there is a King of the North. And that event cannot take place until Europe comes together in a greater solidarity. Right now, the whole world is on the verge of economic collapse, and we'll talk about that a little later. But in the meantime, go on our other website, cbcg.org, and you will find letters talking about prophecy being fulfilled, about the financial matters, about the collapse of the world economic system and what that will lead to. And we'll talk about part of that here as we go along in understanding some of the prophecies for the end time. So when it talks about the latter days, we're not told how long that is. Until we reach a certain point, and that is a point where there is a world leader who finally makes a covenant and brings peace to the Middle East. Then in the midst of that 7 years, at 3.5 years, that world leader is going to suffer a deadly wound, come back to life, and be declared God on earth. Now, in this one, we are going to see the partner of the Antichrist, the beast, who is the false prophet. But first of all, before we get into the scriptures concerning that, let's come to Matthew 24, and let's see what else Jesus said concerning the Great Tribulation and what would take place. Let's come to verse 21. For then, that is when the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, shall there be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. And if those days were not limited, now the King James says, cut short. That's not the true translation. Limited is the correct translation because God has limited it to 3.5 years. How many sermons have you heard? Oh, well, you better hurry and get right with the Lord, which is true. You better hurry and get right with the Lord because he may cut time short. No, he has already predetermined and limited the time, and therefore he's not going to break his word. Tribulation will be 3.5 years from beginning to the return of Christ. But notice what else he says. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or he is there, do not believe it. Now, what is the partner in crime, the false prophet, going to proclaim the beast to be? None other than God manifested in the flesh. And let's see also that he doesn't come to power without the agreement of the world's religious leader. Now, in Revelation 17, we find something very interesting concerning how this religious leader is described. What he does. It's a combination. All the world's religions. Now, we're going to have to answer the question, because of the tension right now between so-called Christianity, which you see in the world, and Islam. How are they going to get along together for a while, even temporarily? Well, we'll see that something happens to cause that to be. Now, let's first of all come to Revelation 13 in verse 11, talking about the great religious leader. And he is the one who's going to say, "Here is the Christ." But that will be the Antichrist. Verse 11, "And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon." Looked like it was Christian, but it wasn't. Spoke like a dragon, speaking the doctrines of Satan the devil. Now, you want to know what those doctrines are? Well, we've got a book you can download. It is called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, showing that papal worship is the worship of Nimrod and Semiramis and goes clear back to the very beginning at the Tower of Babel. So you see, history and prophecy are connected. But you see, a book like this is not very well distributed because the religious powers of the world don't want it distributed, because then they would be discredited. "Spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him." What was the authority of the first beast? Over all nations and over every language and kindred and so forth on the earth? Let's see another description back here in Revelation 17. It talks of this false prophet and its church. The church is likened to a woman. Now, we'll get to that in just a little bit. But notice this. "And the woman whom you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth." What city do you suppose that would be? What city has ambassadors from nearly every nation of the world? That city is called the Vatican, and it is located in Rome. When this beast that is going to be the personage who is the head of that church, he's generally known as the Pope. Is the Pope involved in political and religious affairs in the world? Yes, indeed. Did Jesus say that we're to get involved in the world like that? No, he never did. We are not to be part of the world, of the world, just like Christ was not of the world. See, when Jesus Christ was here, he didn't align himself with the scribes and the Pharisees and the political leaders of his day, which is why he was rejected as the Messiah, because they thought that the Messiah would come and embrace them and their teachings and their traditions and their doctrines. But he didn't do it because he's not of the world. Well, you see, true Christians, though we live in the world, we're not to be of the world. So here's one who has royal authority over the kings of the earth. No other city in the world lays claim to that, except the Vatican. Now, Revelation 13 and verse 12 again, exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, "and he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." Now, how's he going to do that? By saying that the beast who had the deadly wound and it was healed, that he now is the manifestation of God on earth. And as we read, that is the man who is the son of perdition, the man of sin, who goes into the temple of God and says, "I am God." And his partner in crime is going to say, "Yes, he is the Christ. Worship him." Now, here's how he convinces all the religions of the world to join in. And isn't that what the governments of the world want today? Why can't the religions get together and help keep the peace? So here will look like their answer. Here's what he's going to do. He performs great wonders so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Whoa! What if you saw that on the daily news? Here's this great religious leader all dressed in white, having all of the garb of Christianity of this world. And he calls down fire from heaven, performs miracles, does great signs. What do you think the media is going to do? What do you think the people of the world are going to do? They're going to flock. They're going to say, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, God has answered our prayers. But you have to ask the question, which God? The God of this world or the God of heaven? And the God of this world is Satan the devil, as we saw. Now notice what he does. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders or the miracles that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast which had the wound by the sword yet lived. Yes, let's celebrate his return to life. Let's all make an image of the beast. Let's all have it so that we can worship it. And then they're going to build a great monument to the beast. A great image of the beast, just like in Daniel, the third chapter that Nebuchadnezzar did. Then all who won't worship the image of the beast will be killed. See, because there's going to be an enforced peace and an enforced religion coming upon this world. And that's how they will control them. All right? Verse 15, and he was given power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast also could speak, and he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Beginning of the martyrdom of the saints. Isn't that something? Right there. Now, let's look at another prophecy of this in Revelation 17. And it talks about this whole religious system. Just like in Revelation 13, it talks about the system of the world government and then the leader. Likewise, Revelation 13, it talks about the false prophet who is the leader of it. But now in Revelation 13, it talks about the system or the woman and her daughters. So let's read it here, Revelation 17 and verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters. Now, a woman in prophecy is a type of the church or a type of Israel. Here she's called the great whore. And isn't that interesting? Because what is the major object of worship within this religious system? A female goddess. Now, they call her the Virgin Mary, and they say, well, we really don't worship her, but they really do. And has nothing to do with the mother of Jesus, but has to do with the wife of Nimrod, Semiramis. That's why you need to download the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. We have it available for you free right on our website here. Revelation 17 and verse 1. Who are the waters? Now notice what it says over here in verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, and nations and languages. Isn't that what we're talking about with a worldwide system, a worldwide government, now a worldwide religion? Yes, indeed. But who is really the power behind the worldwide government? But none other than this great whore. As a matter of fact, in this prophecy of it, she is riding the beast. In other words, giving the spiritual direction to the beast. Let's read it. Back to verse 2. with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Instead of truly ruling the way God wants, they rule the way that this religious system wants. And don't we have it for the whole world? Sunday? Christmas? Easter? Halloween? And all the merchants of the earth are all wrapped up in that too, aren't they? Yes, indeed. This world is one great satanic civilization being developed to its highest degree right now. Yes, there'll be some ups and downs. Yes, there's strength and weakness in it. Yes, it will take time to get together, but this is the system. Verse 3. Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns, full of names of blasphemy. Now in Brussels, Belgium, where the headquarters for the EU is, they have a statue to Europa. And Europa is the female goddess, and she is riding a great bull. And that bull is none other than the beast of Revelation 13. So it's right there. Another thing that's very important, if you would look at it, the building that is the capital building for the Parliament of the EU, it is made after the likeness of a picture of the destroyed Tower of Babel. And they proudly say, what they began, we will finish. Now let's read a little bit more about this, see. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones. Have you ever taken a tour through the Vatican? Have you ever seen the wealth and the riches that is there? Have you ever seen the garments that the religious leaders dress themselves in? Is it not very well described right here, Revelation 17? Yes, it is. And she had a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Yes, it is a system that has rejected God, rejected the commandments of God, rejected the truth of God, rejected the true Jesus Christ, and claim that the Apostle Peter started this whole mess, which is a lie. Never happened. Peter was never in Rome. We'll have to do some segments on that too, but he was never in Rome. Anyone who studies the Bible can glean that out of it if you really study it and dig for it. You see, the whole system is a lying system. Just like our governments are lies, just like our financial system are based on lies and debt, our religious system are based on lies, fairy tales, myths. No wonder there are so many atheists out there. They look at what they perceive to be Christianity, and they see nothing but hypocrisy, paganism, and stupidity that is beyond belief. So I understand why they're atheists. God rejects it too. But the atheists then turn around and make the mistake and reject the true God. So, two wrongs never make a right. Now here's what she's called. And across her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. That's why the book, The Two Babylons. If you don't read that and don't understand that, you will never understand the Bible and history behind the Bible. And you will never understand the prophecies in the Bible. The mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Out of Babylon, ancient Babylon, came all the religions of the world. During the 600 BCs, you had the rise of Buddhism, Confucianism, and a great expansion of Hinduism. And then later, in the 600 ADs, out of the same area, you had what? The rise of Islam and Mohammedism. So then the daughters are all the religions of the world now united under the great personage of the false prophet. And notice what they do, just like they did in the dark and Middle Ages when they killed and persecuted Christians and those who professed Christ. The church ordered inquisitions and the deaths, and the civil government dutifully carried it out. Let's go on. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement. John, when he saw this vision, he said, how could this ever be? Now, if you received a vision like that, you would wonder too, right? Now, let's see that this is talking about the time of the end. The full manifestation of it. Yes, the roots go way back. But you see, that's why Jesus said, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He wants us to understand where it began, and he wants us to understand its fulfillment and its fullest manifestation and the whole grips of this religion and this world system under the power of Satan the devil, which brings the whole world into this system. That's why Jesus Christ has to return. And we're going to see in a future video cast how Jesus is going to return. And we are going to show that there is no such thing as the rapture. Because there are a lot of Protestants out there and they're self-righteous and say, well, before the Great Tribulation comes, we're going to be raptured away. No, you confuse the scriptures. There will be no rapture. There will be the resurrection of the saints. But if you think that you're miraculously going to escape the things that are coming at the end, you are greatly mistaken. No one is going to escape. No, except a very few. So we'll have to give a proper biblical interpretation of that so you will understand. Now, if everyone escaped, how could there be the martyrdom of the saints? Need to think on that. Verse 12, and the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but shall receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast, just a short time. These all have one mind and shall give their power and authority to the beast, a world government. And these shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, so they're going to fight Christ. And this false prophet, the leader of the false religious world system, is going to say, yes. Because you see, by that time, in order to fight Christ, you need to understand something. The beast has been declared by the false prophet to be the Christ. And the true Christ returning from heaven will be declared the Antichrist. And we all need to fight him. These will make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. How is this all going to happen? It seems that there are so many disparate and sort of conflicting currents coming together. And how's it going to come together? Well, God is going to make it happen. Verse 17, for God has put it in their hearts to do his will, to act with one accord, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. So there is the beast power. Now again, let me read this. And the woman who you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. Now let's take a look in Revelation 18, because something is going to happen. Not only do you have the governments, not only do you have the religions, you also have the merchants of the earth, the great international corporations. And you see, they are also behind the power of the beast. Here's an angel, he cries out with a mighty voice, verse 2, Revelation 18. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hated bird, because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. So we have the whole world system involved here, and God calls us out of it now. Will you respond to God? Will you come out of this system now? Will you prove from your Bible what you need to do and love God and keep His commandments and follow Him? This is what Church at Home is all about. So you can come to understand the truth of the Word of God. You can come to find God. You can come to find how you can become converted so that you can be ready when Christ returns and be resurrected so that you can help rule this world and put down all this Satanism, everything that is going on. That's why God calls us. So will you answer the call of God? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Calder saying, till next time, so long, everyone.